Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot to push the button. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. We are live here from Sherman Oaks, California. Beautiful day in Southern California. In fact, it must be about 70 degrees today. When I was driving in today from L.A., where I live, it's about a 20-minute drive or so. It was like 64 degrees, and when I get over here, it's like 72. So it's like a 8-degree difference between where I live and here. I don't like that, but, you know, I grew up in heat. And I'm not saying 72 degrees is not hot, but, you know, it's okay to have a change in weather, if you will. So I've gotten used to the cooler weather. In fact, they said that, I mean, this is totally off topic, but, you know, I'm not a weather person or anything like that. But they said that February was the coldest ever, meaning it didn't get over 70 degrees. You know, L.A. averages, I think, between 70 and 72 degrees year average. But February never got over 70 degrees. So it was like 64, 65, because, you know, we had a lot of rain and things like that. So anyway, that's all I'm happy to say about that. I'm not the weather person, but I just thought I'd share that tidbit of information. And they've been keeping weather for like 130 years, and it's never been, you know, that cold on record. At least that's what they said. You know, this is what the news said. But anyway, hey, I just want to say hello to everyone. Thank you for joining me again. Happy birthday to WWW. You know what WWW is? Worldwide Web dot whatever. It's 30 years old today. Can you believe that? How do we ever get along without the web? I know a lot of businesses, you know, they thrive because of the web now, you know, advertising, things like that. No one can have a business without the World Wide Web. So what do we do before that? I mean, you know, people did it, but, you know, was it as easy as it is now? I don't know. But, hey, happy birthday, WWW, or World Wide Web. Did you guys hear about the Marriott that opened? First Marriott hotel with three brands in one building. So three brands, one address. Can you believe that? That happened in Nashville, Tennessee. One is the AC Hotel, which is 209 rooms. The second one is a Spring Hill Suites, 123 rooms, and then a Residence Inn, 136 rooms. All in one property. They have a lot of shared space, I'm sure. So I've stayed in a dual property before where you go, one side is, I think it was a Hampton Inn and a Homewood Suites. So one side, so you go the front desk, it even says the different signs, Homewood here, Hampton that way. Go to that front desk, although either one can check you into either place, but you go left to the elevator for the Hampton and right to the other one, to the Homewood. It was interesting. But they had shared space, shared meeting space, shared common areas, you know, like a working desk and things like that. So all that was shared, but it had to, but both of them had their own separate restaurants. So I can imagine that that's pretty much the same thing at a this property that just opened up in Nashville. My contact information, just in case someone wants to get a hold of me, you know, always, I put all this information out there. It's on the web. It's on the website, which is russell@russellfotels.com. Oh, that's my email address. Website is russellfotels.com. So I put all this information out for people, and they always ask me, you have an email address? Yeah, okay, that's, well, that's it. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at russellfotels, IG, Russell of Hotels, LinkedIn, Russell L. Edman, and Facebook. I have two, and that's Russell L. Edman and Russell of Hotels. So either Facebook page will work. And like I said, my website is russellofhotels.com. You can also, excuse me, after this show, this is a live show, of course, but after it's done at 2 o'clock, it goes on to podcast. So once it's recorded, it becomes a podcast. So you can always look for it on wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, if that's iTunes, if that's Google Play, wherever that is, whatever platforms you use, feel free to do that. And also, if you wouldn't mind doing a little, you know, you can review it or put a little rating next to it or whatever. You can do that on iTunes, but I believe you can do it on every platform as well. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, that would be great as well, so I can track and see, you know, what people have to say. I know they only have good things to say, but, you know, I may just want to hear some things. Humor me. What is, now, there's no guest today. I don't know if you know that, but I'm the person. I'm it today. So, and I'm going to talk about some different stuff. But before I get to that, of course, I have some housekeeping things to do. But, you know, there's some stuff that you may find of interest. One thing I try to do with this show is become, not become, or make sure it's educational for people, that you understand the process of hotels, meetings, things like that. And the six guests that we've had previous, they all shared their experiences, and they, you know, all gave us educations on how they started, where they started, and what they do in their jobs, and basically how it can help, you know, the layman person, the person that doesn't, you know, book meetings or stay in a lot of hotels, or they can help the person that's been in the business for a long time as well. So it's, you know, it's all about education for everybody, not just one group of people. So, I mean, that's what I try to do. And it's happened to turn out that way. I mean, I really don't know what the vision was for. The vision was to share hospitality experiences, but the comments I get is about, oh, thank you, this is good information, I'm learning a lot, that kind of thing. I'm like, hey, that's great. So I appreciate the comments and things like that. But what is the Russell of Hotels group? I do hotel site selection, where I assist companies, organizations, even individuals. I got a call the other day. Somebody wanted information on, they were doing a 40th high school reunion or something like that, and it's going to be here in LA, and they wanted information on hotels. So I sourced it for them. And then in a couple of days, I'm sure I'll get all the responses back, and I'll send it to the client. And then they can decide on, you know, if they're interested in what hotels they're interested in. So I probably can send it to about 8 hotels at the same time, and then they'll respond back to me. That's called sourcing. So once it's sourced, they send me a proposal. So I do an RFP, request for a proposal. They send it back to me, and then we go from there. Then I send it to the client, and then we go from there. And remember, those services don't cost anything, because the hotel actually pays a commission off of the rooms that are booked there. So that's how that works. Digital marketing I do via social media. So anything, I mean, if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all those things, you'll see things that I post about hotels. So it can be news, it can be information, it can be things that I come up on my own. It can be quotes. It can be anything. So check it out. Also, I do hotel and destination video production. If you've looked at some of my the platforms that I'm on, once again, Twitter, Instagram, even LinkedIn, I'll do videos of hotels. In fact, I'll be been invited to go to lunch at the Hilton Costa Mesa. Am I right? Yes, I think so. That's Thursday. So look for some video or some footage of, that lunch and the site inspection as well. So I haven't been there in a while, so it's going to be good to see the property again and take some pictures and share with you. So I've done at least 100 of those videos for different hotels. And then I'm a radio show host where I interview today's hospitality professionals. So that's what I do. That's what all those things are. When you hear Russell of Hotels Group, that's what the group is. The group is not a bunch of people sitting in here like Russell and his group. Well, it's Russell and the group of things that I do. So that's basically it. There's a couple more things on there, too, but I won't bore you with everything. So I want to thank again Jason Will, CEO of ZipKit, for being here last week. He gave a lot of great information, and I got comments from people saying, well, I don't know if I should even say this, but I had one person call me and say, oh, that Jason, he was good on the eyes or something like that. Like, what does that mean? He's a good-looking guy? Okay, yeah, okay, all right. He's a good-looking guy. You hear that, Jason? So yeah, so at least one person or two people made comments about you. So that's a good thing. I don't even know if they remember the content, but they said, oh, he's easy on the eyes. But anyway, okay. Who's on blast? Several weeks ago, I think it was the second show, I put some people on blast. What does that mean? It's not a bad thing. Being on blast just means I want you on the show. So I'm actually inviting you to come on the show and tell us your story and things like that. So it was initially five. Jason was one of those five. So he contacted me and said, hey, I want to be on your show. So, okay, of course. So I put him on the show. So there's four other ones, and I have to add one. So I'm always going to have five on the list. So the four that are currently on there, Larry Broughton, CEO of Broughton Hotels. He's one. Brian Churchill, one of the VPs at LA Tourism. Nelly, and I don't know Nelly's last name, but AKA, meaning also known as Foodie Call. She's someone that I follow on IG and Twitter, and she always has some amazing places that she goes and eats out of the country as well as here in LA. So she always has some interesting things that she goes and does. So I'd like to have her on the show to see, you know, how she got started and some of her favorite restaurants. And she's based here in LA. So Nelly, AKA Foodie Call, you're on the list. Larry Broughton, you're on the list. Brian Churchill, you're on the list. Luis Torres with Universal Studios Hollywood, you're on the list. So anyone that knows those people that have to be listening or you hear about, you know, oh, tell them, say, Russell, you know, Russell of Hotels, put you on blast. He said he needs you on the show. You need to contact him. The information I gave you, Russell at russellofhotels.com is my email. russellofhotels.com is the website, and my information is on there. So email's on there and a phone number, so you can always get a hold of me. So I don't want to hear, well, I didn't hear about me being on blast. And I'm going to add one person to the list, and that person is Miss Kenya Bannister Stamps. Okay, she's Associate VP, Associate Vice President of Sales and Service with Long Beach CVB, or Visit Long Beach. So you can go visitlongbeach.com, and that's their information there. So it's a CVB. So she just been in a position, I think, maybe a couple of months. She was a former general manager. I work with her at least two times, and it's just good to see her. Now she's a VP. So, you know, anyone that works with me, they end up being VPs and presidents and things like that. So people are like, well, what happened to you then? Anyway, today, now we'll get into the show. So, excuse me. When you're the only one talking, you get kind of parched, so you kind of have to hydrate a little bit. But it was planned that I would not have a guest here today. So, like, I wanted to kind of take a break between. I think I've done this is the seventh show that I've done. So I wanted to not take a break from the guests, but kind of just go back over some things that we talked about and maybe add a couple more things. And like I said, it's about education. It's about letting people know what's what in the hotel space and meeting space and CVB space and things like that. So we don't get too detailed in some of this stuff, but it's good to know, to have knowledge when you're going to a hotel, especially if you're planning a meeting and for whatever reason you want to do it yourself. You don't want to call Russell to do it, but that's what I'm here for. I'm here to you know, to guide you through the process of if you need meetings. Now, remember, a group is 10 rooms or more. So anything 10 rooms or more will require an agreement, a sales agreement. So my job is to source the hotels, meaning I send out RFPs, requests for proposals, to the hotels that you're interested in. So if it's L.A., say you want to be in L.A. at the airport area. So I'll source, let's say, 8 hotels at the airport area. I mean, it can be the Hilton, it can be the Marriott, it can be the Sheraton. You know, there's several hotels, the Renaissance. It can be several hotels that I'll, based on what your budget is, based on what you know, where you want this event. Do you need meeting space? Do you are people coming in? Do you need to be close to the airport? I mean, those are the reasons why you would use an airport property, I guess, maybe because it's close to the airport, maybe you have people flying in, or maybe it's a little cheaper than, you know, if you went to Beverly Hills. A lot cheaper if you went to Beverly Hills or even downtown these days. Even the airport, the rates are actually gone up over there. So that's my job, to let you know that, hey, the rates have gone up a little bit over there since, you know, the 90s, since the last time you had a group, and they're not $89 anymore. You know, those rates, I was checking just the other day, and the rates are, you know, depending on the day, can be over $200. So, hey, it is what it is. I mean, it's a good thing for those hotels that are doing well. That means the economy is doing well, at least here in L.A., and hotels are doing well. So, but my job is to, you know, to kind of navigate you through the process of, you know, help you with the site selection, help you with contracts, contract negotiations, you know, what goes in a contract, what goes out of a contract, what should be in there, what shouldn't be in there, or try to minimize the maybe damages that you can incur. You know, like, I want to block 100 rooms. This is your first event, and you want to do 100 rooms when maybe you should only block 20 rooms. You know what I mean? So it's my job to get out, you know, what's your history? Have you had this event before? Where are these people coming from? I mean, there's a lot of questions that I would ask before I source out a piece of business. So that's one of the things that I'm going to talk about. So what I did was came up with a list of about 22 things. And how I came up with this the idea for the show, I was watching this comedian, and the name doesn't matter. His method of how he comes up with his jokes does. So what he said was, he in his house, he has a table with a fishbowl, round fishbowl on a table. And in that table, or in the fishbowl, has a lot of torn up pieces of paper, but with words written on each individual paper. So he goes in to the fishbowl, pulls it out, and reads one, and he has to come up with a skit for every word that he pulls out of the thing. So every day he does a different one. So if it's, he has to come up with something funny on the word funny. I'm just using that as an example. Or cat, let's just say cat. He has to come up with a whole skit from the word cat. So that's, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. I'm sure a lot of other comedians probably do something similar to that. But I said, you know what? I'm going to write down phrases or words, and then I'm just going to, I mean, you're not going to see what the words are. I'm going to let you know what the terms are, the sentences are, or the words are, and I'm going to talk about them. So the first one is, what is an influencer? So last, Jason, who was here, we were talking about influencers. And then my second guest, I believe she was my second guest, was Kat Von B, who is an influencer. So basically someone with the ability to influence buyers or a product or a service by promoting or recommending the items on social media. That's basically what an influencer is. So, you know, I bring that up because, you know, people, we use social media, but should we use influencers to help us with our brand, or should we do it on our own since we have, you know, now the World Wide Web to assist us with these things? So from Kat Von B's perspective, I'm sure, yes, use an influencer, because that's what she does, right? So, and she does a great job of that. So she influences people to buy luxury hotels. I mean, so to stay at luxury hotels. I mean, that's her thing, and primarily in Greece and in other countries as well, but she concentrates on Greece and in the U.S. as well. She has hotels too. So, I mean, I learned from these people, you know, as far as what they know, what knowledge they have, But when you're hiring someone, what do you look for? So this is more for the hotel people or CVB people or tourism people or whatever. What do you look for in an influencer? Do we need influencers? My answer would be yes. You know, however, what do we want them to do? Do we need them to help with a grand opening? Because, you know, influencers will come in. You can hire influencers to come in for your opening up a new hotel. Say Natalie at the Godfrey Hotel. Natalie was my first guest at the Godfrey Hotel. She needs influencers to come and talk about her hotel, because influencers will come in, as many as you want, and they will start hashtagging this, hashtagging that, taking picture of this, taking picture of that, and it floods the internet with that. So it floods Twitter, IG, whatever platforms you want them to do. It will flood that information out there to them. So you'll get quick hits off of that. So if you had 20, just think you had 20 influencers at one time, and they're hashtagging your hotel, this picture, your food, and everything at one time, you're going to be all over the world pretty quickly. But are those people that, the thing is, are those the people that you want? Who are those people following? Who's following those people? Those are the questions that you would ask. So influencers are good, but what do they know about your hotel? Are they just going to come in here and just do, you know, just we're going to send out pictures and things like that? And I mean, that's fine if it's like a grand opening or a party and things like that. But some people would want them to assist in their marketing campaigns as well. So that's a step further. So if you want influencers to help in your marketing campaigns, what does that entail? What does that look like? So are you going to, I mean, what's the ROI on that? How are you going to measure success? The people that you're going to have do this, how are they going to be vetted? Is it based on how many followers they have? Is it based on the type of followers they have, or who's following them? Because a lot of times you can follow, say I'm an influencer, and, you know, some of the top people, I may not have as many followers, but some of the top people in the influencer world follow me. So if I post something out there, who knows? They may repost the stuff that I'm posting. So now you're getting into a bigger realm of influencing, or you're getting your message out to more people. So it's always important to know who's following them and who are they following. So just remember that. So influencers are good, yes. Do we need them? Yes, we do. But you need to be sure how you want to use them. And what are you using them for? Like I said, if it's a grand opening, okay. Marketing campaign, okay, that's good too. But just know what you're getting. Make sure they're vetted out. And how do you vet them out? You can call me and ask me. There you go. Also, you need to know if it's measurable. How can you track, you know, your ROI? Some influencers, I mean, you can give them a code or something like that. So if they put something out there, so you want them to, as far as help out your reservation, I'm just using that. So single reservations, transit reservations. So if I put something out there, I would need to have a link to my whatever I'm putting out. So if I'm doing it on IG or Twitter, I need a link so it can be traced back to me or tracked back to the promotion that we're running. Not necessarily to me, but to the promotion that you're running. So remember that as well. So these things can be done, but you have to think them out. I mean, we just can't, you know, hire people to do things and then they don't give us the results. And then we're pissed off that, well, I didn't get the results that I wanted. Well, what did you do? What were the steps you took to do that? So does that make sense? So always ask that. And are they familiar with, you know, different things that you do? Who's your comp set? Who's your competition? Are they familiar with those things, or do they even care? Or do you care that they care that they're in tune with what you're trying to do? Are you asking about your comp set? Do they know about a star report? Do they know where you rank? Do they know the help that you need as far as marketing is concerned? See, those are things that we have to share with them, because they just come in and, you know, do, okay, it's for a party or a marketing campaign, but I really don't understand the whole scope of how hotels work. So it's always good to see what their level of knowledge is when it comes to hotels, because we are used to dealing with people that kind of know our terminology, know our jargon, and things like that too. So we kind of treat people differently when they come from the outside world, if you will, outside of the hotel space. So, and please feel free to always ask me questions like, what do you mean by this or whatever, because I'm always open to answer questions and things like that. And I'm just taking some water for people that can't see me. I just drank some water. So thank everybody on Facebook Live for tuning in, and thank everybody for tuning in live, and everyone's going to listen to the podcast as well. I do appreciate it. So we're on live with Russell of Hotels. We're live here from Sherman Oaks. No guests today, just for people that just joined us. So I'm going through a list of things that I think people want to know and people need to know. So I'm just trying to give some education to some of the people that are maybe interested. So we just talked about influencers, or what is an influencer, and do we really need them? And I said, yes, we do. And I gave a whole bunch of stuff of why I think we need them. Like I said, familiar with star reports. Do they know what ADR or RevPAR, occupancy? I mean, those are things that are, you're going to have to figure out. I mean, are they moving the needle? Meaning, are you trying to get more transit reservation from them? Are you trying to increase your food and beverage? What are they there for? And then let them know that how we measure these things, you know, within the hotels, within the meeting space, within our CVB, you know, how we measure those influencers. Because influencers, they'll go around the world and post things for everyone to see, but are they attracting the right people? Do we want those people, the people that are following them? Are those the people that are going to use our hotels? Are those people going to use our destinations? Are those the people going to use our restaurants? So we always got to remember those things. So that's enough on that. What about food and beverage guarantees? So that's just one of the things on my list here. So food and beverage guarantees. So a lot of contracts come in when you source out business, you know, say I got, you know, 200 rooms that I need and I need meeting space. Well, they're going to come back with, they come back with a rate, but they're also going to come back with a rate for the rooms, but they also come back with a food and beverage guarantee. So, you know, okay, you want 200 rooms a night here. We'll give you the meeting space for free, but we want $50,000 in food and beverage revenue. Okay, well, once again, you got to go back to the history of your group. Does your group have that? Can you do whatever, $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 in food and beverage? I mean, those items are negotiable, right? I mean, can you do it? I mean, then you got to prove them, well, we can't do it because our last meeting was this. You know, that's my job to kind of figure out what can this particular group do? Can they do that much in food and beverage? And the reason why they do it, I mean, they'll give you the space for free. A lot of hotels will give you the space for free. But they do want a commitment from that, because you got to remember, they have, there's banquet departments. There's a lot of people in a hotel that need to work. So that guarantees that the banquet staff, the cooks and the chefs and things like that are going to be working on that, on those particular dates, because there's a group coming in. So that's the reason for the food and beverage minimums and things like that. So, I mean, I've heard minimums. I mean, they go a lot. Depending on the size of the group, they can go into the millions, I'm sure. I've never done it when it's that extensive, but maybe $500,000. Yeah, I've done that. But, yeah, there's quite a bit that they're looking for. They'll give you a lot of things, a lot of concessions. A concession is things that are things that could be for free, or you think they're free, but it's all about the negotiation. So, okay, we'll give you this rate, but, you know, we're going to ask for this. We'll give you free parking, but we want that. So remember, a negotiation is a give and take. So don't think you're going to get everything that you ask for. And that goes for both sides. That goes for the client or the meeting planner. I mean, you know, my clients ask for the world. My job is to deliver it to them. But if I can't get it, and they say, well, I have to explain, well, this is what they can give. They can't give all this, but they can give that. So that's, like I said, that's our job as a hotel site selection to do that. And also there's attrition clauses and cancellation clauses that are being in the contract as well. So my job is to try to minimize those things. And attrition is basically the difference between what was booked and what's actually consumed. So the number that's in the middle, that's attrition. And normally you got to pay 80% of that. So whatever that is. But it's, you know, my job to kind of minimize that. Maybe standard is 80%. Maybe I get it down to 70%. Maybe I get it down to 60%. It just depends on the group. And it all depends on history. Cancellation. If you cancel out after a certain time, after a contract is signed, then you're going to a cancellation. So if you have to cancel for whatever reason, there's going to be some type of fee that's going to be associated with that. I mean, you can cancel all day long, but there's going to be a fee that's going to be associated with that. You know, if you can get that minimized, you know, on a sliding scale, that, you know, it could be to your benefit. I mean, no one wants to cancel a meeting, but it does happen. Do I, you know, and I'm bouncing back and forth, but do I consider myself an influencer? Yeah, I do. In the meeting space and hotel space, I consider myself an influencer. And I'm probably one of the few that have both sides of the, well, there's more than me. I mean, don't think I'm the only one that does hotel site selection, but with the extensive experience that I have on the hotel side and the meeting side, yeah, I'm pretty, I don't say I'm a rare breed, but there's not a lot that have the extensive knowledge that I have on the hotel side. And now I'm related to the meeting side. So remember, I started hotels. So I started from housekeeping. I went through almost every discipline in a hotel. So housekeeping, front office, food and beverage, banquets, was an assistant GM, was never in engineering, but I, you know, I've been on roofs with engineers. I've been in, you know, ducts and AC units and HVACs. I mean, I know how they work, but can I fix them? No, but I know how to explain to a guest why this thing is not working. So yeah, I have a lot of extensive knowledge on the hotel side, and I related to the meeting space and as an influencer. So do I consider myself an influencer? Yeah, sure. Of course I do. This is a good one. OTAs. So now remember, I'm just picking stuff out of a fishbowl. That was the analogy that I used. Picking topics out of a fishbowl. So they're not in necessarily any type of order. So I'm just picking things out. So the next thing I'm picking out is OTAs. Does everyone know what an OTA is? Well, an OTA is an online travel agency. So example of that would be Priceline, Expedia.com, Hotels.com. We've all seen those commercials on TV, right? I mean, I've used them for resources all the time. In fact, on my website, I use one people book through it. I mean, it is what it is. But the thing of it is that a lot of people don't know, OTAs or third parties, what they call it in the hotel space, is that they cost money for the for you to book through them. Okay, so hotels do not want you to book through an OTA. They want you to book direct because it costs them less money if you book direct. If you go through an OTA, yeah, you can book at this particular hotel. Yeah, that OTA has, what they do is the hotel gives them an allotment of rooms. So every day they're getting an allotment of rooms. So if I have a 1,000-room hotel, maybe I'm giving them 200 rooms a day. Okay, so that's up to them to sell those rooms, right? So when they sell them at a deep discount, and I think the markup or what the hotel has to basically, the markup is, I want to say 12 to 25%. I've heard it as low as 12%, and I've heard it as high. It used to be 30%, but I think now it's about 25%. So basically, hotels lose 12 to 25% on each booking that hotel they do, okay, that's booked through the OTA, just so you know. So just remember, hotels want you to book direct. They do not want you to book via OTA. I don't have anything against OTAs. Don't get me wrong. Love OTAs. Love all you people, but that's what it comes down to. So if you see, I think Hilton has, what is it called? A guaranteed, Hilton's, it's price match guarantee. So if you book direct on Hilton or you find I think if you find a cheaper price somewhere else, they will match that and give you 25% off of whatever that rate is. So Hilton does that. But everyone, no one wants you to book through an OTA. So Expedia, things like that. But those are the ones that have the large marketing budget, right? So those are ones you see on TV. Hilton's probably one of the first ones that actually say, we want you to book direct through us. But everyone else is basically just, you know, it's too expensive to, it's too expensive to advertise that you book direct through, you know, through this channel, through that channel, through my website. So they just basically let it ride, I guess. But Hilton is one of the companies that have said, you know what, we're going to try to at least minimize this. I mean, OTAs are here to stay, but it's just about minimizing the damage for hotels. I mean, they're going to book through, you know, through those things, but hotels want you to book direct. So just remember, you book direct, you're probably going to get a lot more perks than if you book through Expedia or through everyone else. Although now Expedia and everyone's, they're trying to include your points. So if you're, say, a Marriott Rewards or SBG member and things like that, I think they're trying to do it where you can still get your points and things like that. But I just think if there's issues in the hotel, it's easier if you book direct, they'll take care of it more quickly than if you booked it through a third party. And believe me when I say this, because I've worked in a hotel before, remember this, the people that book through those third parties don't get the best rooms. I don't care who you talk to, they do not get the best rooms. So that's all I'm going to say on that. So book direct. The brand is you. What does that mean? The brand is you. I'm the brand, right? So everyone's talking about branding and my brand this, my brand that. Well, you're the brand. First and foremost, you're the brand. So people buy from you, the brand, first. Now, you may work in conjunction with other brand, right? So if, say I'm Russell, but I work for, you know, XYZ Hotel, which is the other brand, right? But they're going to buy me before they buy the brand because I'm the first person they're going to come in contact with. So you having a strong brand or you doing the things the right way is good, right? That's a good thing because it's all about your brand, right? And that's what people see. So don't think because you work for this brand, you don't have to be as sharp as they are. You need to be as sharp as the brand because they see you first, right? So people buy you before they buy the brand that you work for. And I always say this to the people that do what I do. They may work for a company. And I always say, why do you do that? Why don't you just work for yourself? And they say, well, because I need the resources and things like that. And I'm not going to go into the companies and things like that because that's not important at this point. But the people that some people will know what I'm talking about. But people, like, say, my clients, you know, my company's called Russell Hotels, okay? They can care less what the company's called. They know Russell, right? So they want Russell to help them. So that's what I'm going to do because my brand says that Russell knows hotels. So that's what they're going to come to. And they know that because they know I've worked, you know, umpteen years in hotels and things like this, and I've done meetings for other people. And that's how I get a lot of business. I get it via referrals. You know, some stuff comes from the social media pieces as well that I put out, and that's the reason why I do that. But basically, they buy from you. So you're the brand, so just remember that. Have you ever, speaking of brands, have you ever Googled yourself? And I'm going to ask hotel specifically. Have you ever Googled your hotel brand? Do that and see what comes up. If your website comes up first, then that's great. But there's a lot of hotels that I Google all the time, right? So that's one of the things that I do because when I'm helping hotels out, I need to see where their place, where their placement is on Google. Because, you know, a lot of people do Google to see, you know, about this hotel, that hotel or whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be hotels. It can be any service, industry, whatever. But people are going to Google. So I Google my name, right? So my name comes up, so I can Google Russell L. Edman. I'll get one thing. Russell of Hotels, I get something else. On Air Russell of Hotels, I get something totally different. But it's all my information, right? Now, if I'm tweeting something, say I tweeted something about the radio show, that's going to be first, right? So branding, if you're trying to brand your brand, a good platform to use is Twitter, because once you put that out there, it automatically goes to Google. I don't know if you guys know that, but it does. And the reason why I'm saying this is that, getting back to hotels, if you Google the hotel name wherever you work and it doesn't come up first, meaning your website, your information, because a lot of hotel companies, I mean, a lot of OTAs, i.e. Expedia, i.e. hotels.com, will buy space that says your hotel, look just like your hotel, but it's actually them. So they'll be number one or two, you'll be number three. And nine out of 10 times, the client or the prospective guest will click on the first one and it won't be your website. So do yourself a favor, Google your hotel, see what comes up first. How do you minimize that? That's when I mentioned the Twitter thing. I may have said that, I should have said that second. I should say that now, but the Twitter thing will help you minimize that issue, meaning it'll put your hotel at the top. If you continue to use Twitter, you post things. Google recognizes Twitter for whatever. I don't know if is Twitter owned by Google. I'm not even sure. But it's one way you can do your branding, meaning you can get your hotel name on top of the other stuff that's there. Or you can buy the Google what AdWords or click, you know, Google click and all that stuff where you pay-per-click and all that kind of stuff. But you want to make sure your hotel or your property or whatever you're selling, your service, is on top. Because if you're not, then people are going to be clicking something that's not you. And I can tell just by Googling certain hotels who has a high percentage of OTA business and who doesn't. I mean, it's just the law of averages, the law of numbers. If I'm Googling this particular hotel and it doesn't come up the top one, it comes up number three or two or whatever, 9 out of 10 times, the guest or the prospective guest is clicking the first one. Now, if I'm not making sense, call me, email me, and I'll walk you through it. Because I did yesterday, I did maybe 10 hotels. Some of them, and the ones that are really bad at this are the like boutique or independent hotels. But there's some, you'll be amazed of some of the nationally branded hotels that don't come up first, that Expedia, hotels.com will be right there, which I would be furious if that was the case. If I'm the director of sales and I'm responsible for that and I'm trying to minimize the number of people that are making OTA reservations, that's where I would start. Cool? Boy, I've been talking this much and I have 15 minutes left. Can you believe that? Okay. Picking another one. Hotel site selection. I told you that's what I do, hotel site selection. What's the difference between meeting planning and hotel site selection? Okay. I do hotel site selection. But I work for a meeting planner. So someone that, like, I'll give an example. Cheryl Rogers was our guest 2 weeks ago. She's a meeting planner, right? So she works for a company. So she's employed by a company, but she does meetings. Well, her plate gets so full sometimes is that she needs assistance with sourcing and things like that. So she would hire someone like myself, hotel site selection, to assist her. So I help her with all the legwork. I can help them with the contracts, you know, getting the rates that they want, but, you know, specific to what she's looking for. But in that way, she can concentrate on the content of the program or the meeting. So it doesn't take away from anything that she needs to do. But it's a service. It's another employee, basically someone there to assist her. And it doesn't even cost her any money. It doesn't cost her, or her company any money or anything like that. So I'll do the sourcing. I send her information. It's all in a spreadsheet. She sees the hotel, she can compare the hotels and things like that, and we go from there. So that's the difference between a meeting planner and hotel site selection. Now, I've done meeting planning before where I work with a company, you know, and say, hey, we need this, we need that, and the system, maybe even some of the content of it. But that's not common, and that's not really what I'm here to do. I'm here to do hotel site selection. At least that's what I try to do. CVBs and tourism boards, why are they important? Well, they're important because, one thing, they don't cost any money, and they give you information about the destination that you're interested in. I mean, they'll do sourcing for you. You can go through them to you can send leads to them, and they'll disseminate all the information to the hotel, their hotel partners in a particular area. Say, I only want the downtown properties in L.A. They will send all that to the downtown properties in L.A. on your behalf. Doesn't cost you any money. They also will give you information about, you know, calendar of events of in L.A., of what's going on in L.A. this particular weekend, the weekend that you're, thinking about having this program or this meeting or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they're able to do that you could not do on your own. And I was told by someone that, you know, yeah, we use this for meetings, but you can also use them for your, you know, if you're planning a vacation somewhere. You can contact your whatever the CVB or the destination that you're going to, tourism destination or whatever, and they'll send you information about restaurants, transportation, attractions, things like that. So all that information can come straight from your bureau, your CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau. They're funded by the city. Basically, there's a bed tax or occupancy tax that's charged to your charged to you when you stay at a hotel. So that goes back to the CVB. So that's how they're basically funded. I may have said that wrong. I don't know, but you get the gist of it. But it's basically the city, of course, recognizes that tourism is a valuable piece of business, right? I mean, I think L.A., I'm in L.A., so I can reference that. They welcomed their 50th million visitor last year, something like that. 50 million people came to L.A. last year. Now we know why there's so much darn traffic is because of that darn LACVB. But that's a good thing because that's what they're here for. So now that we have, now they also can sell the information that's going on at the, you know, the new stadium that's going to have the Chargers and the Rams in another year or so. So they're all in charge of that as well. So all those things, all the information comes from the CVB. So you can get that information and do with it whatever you, you know, want to do with it. I mean, you know the attractions, you know the restaurants where you can go to, you know the hotels, you know all those different things that you didn't know before. So it's imperative for me to utilize them because in a destination, I mean, I know L.A. because I live here, but say I'm going to Cincinnati or Miami or New Jersey, you know, every city, every major city, even small third, fourth tier cities have some type of CVB or some type of tourism board or even a chamber of commerce. But they're doing basically the same thing. They're giving information or they're selling the city. And a lot of them do economic development, too. So they're in charge of getting new businesses to join, be members of their CVB if it's membership driven. Because all CVBs kind of work differently, but they're a necessary tool to use. So feel free to contact them. You can find them online, www.whatever, or just Google whatever destination you're going to, and they'll be able to help you out. So those are some things that I wanted to go through. Like I said, I had a list of 20, I had a list of 22. I don't know how many I got to, maybe five or six, and we're almost out of time. So, gosh, I didn't think I can carry a show, but I think I can, right? So, anyway, I don't want to get too dramatic here. But the last things, and I may continue this on another show, is different marketing tools, marketing trends for 2019, Wi-Fi targeting and geofencing. Who's heard of that stuff before? Well, Wi-Fi technology or Wi-Fi targeting, basically, if you have Wi-Fi in your hotel, let's just say in a hotel, you can send push notifications to cell phones. So it all works via cellular devices. So whatever device that you're using, it can be a Droid, Android, or Apple phone. Everyone carries their phone, right? You know, instead of handing out flyers like we normally do, what are you going to do? You're going to read the flyer, or you're going to read the ping that your phone does? Like, ping, okay, I'm always looking at texts and things like that. So I get texts all the time. And how does Wi-Fi, I'll give you an example of Wi-Fi technology. I was in Cincinnati for my daughter's graduation last year. Then we went to the mall. Now, I hate the malls, right? But I went in there, and I got on their Wi-Fi. And as soon as I got on their Wi-Fi, I got a push notification from Victoria's Secrets, right? It's like, thank you for Wi-Fi. Victoria's Secrets has 40% off of blah, 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 whatever the promotion was. But that's how that Wi-Fi technology works. So imagine that's in a hotel. So you have specials on drink specials or food specials or room specials. And that's a way to wean OTAs off of OTA guests off of OTAs. So you start giving push notifications. If you book direct, you get this. Book direct, do that. So that is, the possibilities are endless. It's called Wi-Fi targeting. If you want more information about that, let me know. Email me and I'll give you more information about it. But those are trends that are going on. Geofencing is another one, where you fence off an area. Geo meaning basically working like geography, right? Geo meaning geography, targeting, or fencing meaning a fenced off area. So satellites and things like that, basically like GPS, right? So you can section off an area, and anyone that comes in that area with a device, you can send them a push notification or some type of advertising. So if I just spend $30 million on a renovation in my hotel and I want people to know it, and I'm near this mall, right, I'll do four streets around my hotel and around the mall. And anyone that walks into that area is going to get some type of notification about my renovation, which is going to, and this is the thing. This is the thing that really gets me, is that once the people go into that area, the Wi-Fi technology or geofencing follows them forever. As long as they have that device, it follows them. So then you start figuring out buying habits and things like that. Now, some people are saying, oh, that's privacy issues. Oh, you're on Google. Google yourself and see what comes up. Okay. We're there, all right? So you can opt in and opt out for these things. So it's not just like it's in your face, you got to take it. You can opt out for this if you have privacy issues and things like that. But these are trends that are coming up. So if you haven't heard of them, you're going to hear about them by end of the year, into 2020. So that's Wi-Fi targeting and geofencing. So any questions at all, please feel free to give me a call, let me know, or you can email me. That's our show for today. I do appreciate you joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I hope I didn't bore you. I hope I gave you some information you probably can use. If not, well, we'll try it again next time. You know, I'm not giving up. You know, and I'm going to leave with this. Somebody said, somebody listening to my show says, God, you sound like you have a good time on that show. You really enjoy this. Yeah, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy speaking of hotels, speaking of hospitality, learning new things. I mean, I'm not real familiar with the CVB world because I never worked in there, but I've talked to enough people and I can talk intelligently about it and bring that stuff to you. So yeah, we're going to do this. It's all about hospitality. It's all about, you know, sharing, getting information from other people that have done different things in hospitality. And I think that's what we want to hear. So thank you very much. I appreciate everything. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week or listening to me next week at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So have a great day. Be safe and enjoy this weather if you're in Southern Cal. Bye.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.